Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Now you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we talk about, and any of the free downloads that I mention. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details. This episode is sponsored by Markup from Kadan Mobile. Markup is an AI-powered smart reader made for daily reading, academic study, and research. You can use Markup to highlight your favorite sentences, annotate on any PDFs and web pages. And with Markup's AI-powered auto summary, you can get to the key points in seconds. It also synchronizes your notes on your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, so you can continue reading wherever you are. Download Markup and sign up for free today. You will find the download links in the description below. This week's episode is titled, 5 Must-Try Music Tools for Educators Teaching Any Subject with Jessica Presta. I am so excited for you to listen to this conversation because I will share with you, I am not a very musical person. I played the recorder when I was in music class as an elementary school student. And although I love my Spotify playlist, the idea of music EdTech tools is a little intimidating for me. So when I first heard Jessica share on Clubhouse a couple weeks or so ago, I knew I had to reach out, bring her on the podcast so we could unpack this idea of EdTech tools connected to music education that you can truly use in any content area. Let's go ahead and dive into this conversation with Jessica. I can't wait for you to hear her actionable tips for any subject area. All right. Well, welcome, Jessica. I am so excited to have you here on the podcast today. I gave a little bit of information, a little bit of background on your work, but would love for you to start off by sharing, what is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah. So I'm Jessica Presta, and I'm a former elementary music teacher turned online music education coach, podcaster, author, and business owner. My story kind of takes a lot of twists and turns, but right out of college, I restarted an elementary music program that had been inactive for 7 years. And now in my business, each day is different. Some days I'm interviewing others for my podcast, or I'm being interviewed. Some days I'm meeting with my virtual assistant. Other days, planning content, writing emails to my list, coaching calls with music teachers or edupreneurs, so many other things in the business going on. But the difference, in my opinion, between being a classroom teacher and then working in an education business is when you're a teacher, your schedule is kind of given to you. You know, it's here's your lunchtime, your plan time, what classes you're seeing when. And then when I'm now running my own business, it's setting my own hours and each day looks different. And it depends on if I have like a big launch coming up for my membership site or if it's the day-to-day stuff with running the business behind the scenes. So that's a long story, a little bit about what I do now. And like I said, getting into online business from being a teacher, that's a long story. It's a cool story, but it's definitely different, but I love it so much.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. And, you know, we first connected on Clubhouse, and I've done a podcast episode about Clubhouse with Marlena Gross Taylor earlier this year, and have been writing and sharing a bit about Clubhouse. And when I did the tap on your profile after I was hearing you speak a little bit and learned about your work underneath, you know, this umbrella of music education, I was really excited to have you on today to just get your perspective. Because sometimes, you know, when we talk about particular content areas or subject areas, it might not be an area where we spend a lot of time if we're kind of in our own silo in a different part of the day. And so for listeners who don't know much about music education, even more generally, what type of topics do you cover? What does a classroom teacher cover? What type of skills are students working on when it comes to music education?
This is a fun conversation to have, because one conversation I've even had with my own parents is how music education has changed so much in a good way from where thinking about my classroom experience as a child in a music classroom, and it was a lot of sitting and singing with just songbooks, which there's nothing wrong with that approach, but it's so different now. And just like I was talking about how every day for me looks different in my business, well, in the music classroom, what's fun about being a music teacher is how it's different every single day. Not only are you seeing every single grade level, but you are doing something different with the kids each day. So it might look like singing, speaking, doing speech pieces, or even raps, doing body percussion, instruments, movement activities. There's a lot of dancing that goes on, variances in that, like what happens with that, with folk dances, or just like fun types of dances, and then composing, improvising, rhythms, and then also making sure teachers are meeting the needs of every student they are teaching and figuring out ways to integrate technology, which is tough for a music teacher, and we can get into that. But it definitely depends on the teacher. The music teachers I work with come to me with all different teaching styles, different backgrounds in music, and what they want to do with their students. And every teacher is going to teach at different types of schools and see different types of students. And so it's not a cookie cutter approach, and what works in one music classroom won't work in another music classroom. So it's kind of like tailoring what you're doing with your students that will work for them. And not, I say, don't compare yourself to the music teacher down the street, because you're not going to do it the same way.
I think that's such a great point, that the wide variety of options or the teaching styles or the different pieces that might connect. I know in some schools, sometimes, you know, curriculum from a cross-curricular standpoint, right? A music teacher might come in and do some complementary work with different initiatives from a social studies lens, right? Or so there's just so much variety there. And I appreciate you giving that context as we talk today. And you mentioned ed tech, right? Or technology. And so what are some of the ways technology plays a role in your work? Really, you know, as a with that music teacher lens, I think first and foremost.
Yeah. So for my story, when I said I walked into a classroom that hadn't had music for 7 years, it was very tough bringing technology to my students, because I remember asking, are there any computers I can use? Is there anything I can use in my classroom for technology? And the answer was no. I finally found like an old computer kind of in the basement of the school. And I was determined I was going to figure out how to use that in my classroom, whether it was with centers, with whether it was just me teaching from it. But I wanted to bring technology in my room. And then finally, a smart board from the library, I was able to roll back and forth. But I feel like for music teachers, it's very tough, because sometimes they are kind of given, I don't know how else to put it, but the leftovers. Now, I don't see that happening as much. And it definitely depends on the school, you know, how much funding is there and all that stuff. But I feel like the last 5 years, it's been a little bit easier to get smart boards in the music classrooms. Or now that there's Chromebooks and iPads on, you know, in a cart that can be rolled from the general classroom to the music room. If music teachers let that classroom teacher know ahead of time, hey, I want to be implementing Chromebooks into my lesson today, can you bring it with them? It's easier now than it was when I started. So I will say that, but there's so many ways to integrate technology into what goes on in the music room. And it's a little intimidating, I feel like. I know you've talked to teachers about this, is if, what do I do? How do I do it? There's so many things to do. I just feel stuck. And it's just making that forward step, which a lot of teachers this year were pushed into it without even, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's the shove they needed. But yeah, I just feel like for me, technology, I just didn't let it hold me back. I just had the mindset of, I may not have a classroom full of computers, which would be ideal and exciting, but I can still do a lot with just one. There's so much you can do with just one computer. And so, yeah, I just want teachers to hear that if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't have a lot of technology, you can still make it work.
You know, it's so interesting what you said about going to find the things, right? Find that extra smart board. Go out. I was laughing last night. I was doing laundry and I've got a very deep washing machine that like requires like half of my body almost to like go in. Something's like really stuck, not super safe, I guess. But I was laughing about it last night because it was making me think of the iPad cart in my classroom where like it was just me trying to make it work, right? Googling which wires went where, like half of my body in it, just like in the, just like in the washing machine last night. And I think that's a big part of when it comes to using technology, right? We might not know where to go for resources, especially if you're in a classroom where you might not be first on the list for getting digital tools. You're doing some of the things that you just mentioned, right? Like asking students to come with a Chromebook, or now if you're in a remote environment, right, using some of the same systems or routines a classroom teacher, you know, might be using. And so when we think about the kind of tool, so say you've got that Chromebook, say you've got an interactive whiteboard or something along those lines, what are some of your favorite kind of ed tech tools, maybe like a top five that you have when it comes to what a music teacher might use or what a classroom teacher who's looking to infuse more music into their work might think about?
Yeah, there's so many. There's so many. So when I was thinking of my top five, I tried to think of five that were a little bit different to give different ideas to teachers, whether you are listening to this and you're a classroom teacher or a music teacher. And the ones I'm going to mention are easy enough to implement, even if you feel like you're not confident in your music teaching skills. So the first one that I absolutely love, which is kind of newer around the block, like I guess it came out like this last year or so, but Chrome Music Lab. It's free. It's literally, you just type in Chrome Music Lab and all of this site comes up that has all these different musical things you can do with your students. That's very interactive. And actually it integrates perfectly into science because a lot of it, you're seeing the frequencies and the notes moving up and down and things like that, but just ways for the students to explore with sounds and creating music. My second one is a website, and there's a lot of websites like this one I'm going to mention, but it's called Classics for Kids. Any of the orchestra websites, a lot of them have sections on their website specifically for kids to explore instruments of the orchestra or also to learn about different composers from various genres and backgrounds. It has it where they can explore in a fun way, and it's very interactive. And I love sites too where you can do them at school, but also at home as well. Like if kids are wanting to explore these on their own time, even if it's not and a homework assignment per se, but if it's something they want to just experiment with at home, these are all sites that the kids can definitely just go to and do that. There is a site called Music Play Online, which is actually a curriculum for music teachers, but they have a lot of free resources on their site. And one of the things I love that this site provides is an interactive boom whacker and xylophone. So some actual instrument simulations on their site where, especially those virtual learners where they don't have instruments at their house, it's not going to be the same as physically holding an instrument, but this site will definitely have a way for them to play the instrument and you can definitely leave a lesson plan for them to do or whatever. NoteFly is a music notation software and it also has lesson plans for teachers as well. So this is mainly for our upper elementary or probably like getting into middle school students. And then Mix, it's M-I-X-X-X. It's a free DJ software. So it's super fun. The kids get to kind of like create their own music like a DJ because I love incorporating all kinds of music into the music room. It doesn't have to just be formal, like bring in popular music and styles of music and talk about musical careers. Those would be five that I absolutely love that I think teachers would enjoy.
These are such great choices. And I really appreciate, Jessica, you giving the context of different use cases too. I think it's important when we look at a list of tools or resources to really have that idea of what it might look like in action. And just even some of these cross-curricular connections that you mentioned with Chrome Music Lab being something that might connect to science goals, Classics for Kids, giving some biography connections, right? So just a lot that you can do here. And I think that, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be in isolation. So if there's music teachers who are listening, right, they could use all five of these. But if there's a teacher that's just looking for something that's going to connect with a student who always talks about wanting to be a DJ, right? Well, yeah. Maybe they bring this into their science classroom, you know, at the same time they're looking at, you know, a different type of academic content kind of in their curriculum. So I think it's really nice to think about these tools in those different ways. And, you know, if there are, you know, if there's a classroom teacher or a coach or administrator listening in and thinking about incorporating more music into their content area instruction, you gave some great ideas here with this list of top five. You know, what are some things that they should consider during that planning when they're looking to incorporate more music into their content area instruction?
Yeah, like I said earlier, the biggest pain point I hear from classroom teachers, I want to bring, and this is actually the teachers I worked with at my school. When I say there hadn't been music for 7 years, they were asked to bring music into their classrooms and were, some of them did great and some of them were like, I don't know what I'm doing. So this is what I would encourage them. When they would tell me what they are doing before I got there, I was like, you're doing an amazing job, because effort, as long as you're trying, that's the main goal. So I just want to share some simple ideas that are easy, like a lot of you listening to this are already doing these things anyways. Mm-hmm. So using books, you already read books to your students and use books with your students, but you may not be realizing by just the students listening to you read is a musical skill. There are action words, or think of verbs in a story where maybe it's saying jump, skip, hop, or whatever else. The kids can stand up and do that action word. That's movement. And then they can pat the beat while you're reading the words. Maybe you have a rhyming book and you can read it kind of with a rhythm, or like read it like you would a rap. The kids can just pat their legs while you're reading. And then also ebooks. So we're talking about technology. Ebooks, there's so many even interactive ebooks where they can follow along and see it kind of like come to life. But there's also a lot of books, musical books, that have music in the background as well. Mm-hmm. They can listen to while you read the book. So if you're teaching about other cultures or a particular culture you're focusing on, then find a book about that where you can show the students costumes, dances, etc. about that culture. And then listening to music, we've already mentioned that. Your kiddos can even listen to music while they're working in the classroom. Or if you're teaching about a certain content area, they can listen to music maybe around that topic, or teach a song to the students that integrates directly into that subject area. So for example, one idea I have is I helped a third grade teacher once where her students were working on multiplication facts. And so we worked on a multiplication rap. Then they recorded themselves and they just kind of listened to it while they're doing math. And it just kind of kept replaying in their head because music is sticky and it helps them retain mm-hmm. what they're learning. So last ideas is I just want to say that music integrates into every subject. And I'm going to give four super quick tips. Math and note values in music. If the kids are doing quarter note and half note, you could say, what's a quarter note plus a half note? Oh, it's one beat plus two beats. That's three. Simple idea, simple tip. Science and frequency go hand in hand. Social studies and learning a song like the 50 State song, and then reading and speech pieces. So a lot of these you're already doing without even realizing it. But yes, music seamlessly integrates into every subject area. You may or may not have realized you're already doing a lot of these things. So you are already integrating music really well, teachers.
This is just such a great, you know, I think the combination of these strategies you've shared, right? They're super actionable, but also just that validation, right? That this is happening in lots of ways, whether we label it or not, especially some of the movement or brain breaks we've talked about on the podcast before, right? That's a way to bring in some of that energy and those conversations, right, into different content areas or into small bursts, right? If a classroom teacher is working with the same group all day long, right, that might be part of some of the transitions that they do. If someone's working for 45 minutes, right, they might bring in something a little bit differently. So I love just how easy these are to kind of wrap your head around or to imagine what it would look like. And so I want to make sure that everyone knows how to connect with you. If you can tell us a little bit more about your work. You mentioned that you have a course. I know you've got a book and a podcast you mentioned too. So I'll make sure, of course, to link these out so anyone listening can learn a little bit more about some of the strategies that you shared today. But tell us a little bit about your work and the best way for people to connect with you.
Yeah. So I have a membership site for elementary music teachers called the Harmony Membership. There is a course as well, but I don't really advertise that. You can buy it after you join the membership site. Doors open twice a year. The link to that will be in the show notes. And then I wrote a book. It got published this summer called Make a Note, What You Really Need to Know About Teaching Elementary Music, kind of about my experience, but also from talking to other elementary music teachers. You get taught the content and what to do, but not really the ins and outs of the day and about life. Mm-hmm. And then my podcast is called the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. And then just heading to my website, thedomesticmusician.com, you can find out more about me and my work. And then there are some free resources, some PDFs and various things like that that you can download as well. And I mainly hang out on Instagram, so I would love to connect with you there, just at Jessica Peresta.
That's wonderful, Jessica. I know we've gone back and forth on Instagram and you've got such a great page there full of resources. And I hope that folks listening today, you know, are leaving this episode with not only a kind of a different vision for what music education might look like with digital tools, but some ways that they can bring it back into their work. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad Jessica could join today for this episode and conversation on music tools that educators can use in any subject area. Let's finish up like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, take stock of the technology you have access to right now. Next, identify cross-curricular connections. Then, try one of these must-have tools. And finally, incorporate movement and listening skills. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode at classtechtips.com/podcast. If you're listening to this in a podcast app, you should also see the link to the show notes right below the episode description. You can tap on that and get all of the resources from today. Again, a big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Markup from Kadan Mobile. If you are looking for a tool to get your reading notes organized on PDF and web pages, Markup is the perfect choice for you. It is available on iOS, Chrome, and Microsoft Edge, and completely free to download and sign up, so give it a try. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details or send me a DM on Instagram at classtechtips and tell me you want the newsletter link and I'll make sure to send it right back to you. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. Check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.